Daniel chapter 1, verse number 1. Let's all stand, please, for the reading of the Bible. We'll read down through verse number 8. Ingredients of godly character, Daniel chapter number 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried unto the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king said unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, and at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the reading of the Bible, and Lord, the power of the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, that we would look now into its pages and learn from its precepts. And thank you, dear God, for the great heroes of the Bible, men that certainly were men, and in all aspects human, certainly not perfect, with failings each and every one. But Lord, also, dear God, many men who were great men, dear God, because they put their faith in a great God. And so I pray, Lord, that as we study the life of Daniel and take a look at the character of Daniel, that you would challenge us in our own individual lives. Lord, we are not facing exactly the circumstances that Daniel faced these many years ago. But Lord, the principles and precepts, what got him through these trying times, are the same things that can help us succeed, dear God, in this world gone crazy, this upside down world, upside down culture. Lord, may we learn a godly character. May we always exhibit, Lord, in our interactions with everyone, godly character. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Seems like I guess it's a habit of life that I've gotten into, but if I have something unusual happening, a week or 2 weeks where we're doing something unusual, a lot of times I'll just pick out, besides my regular Bible reading, a specific book of the Bible just to concentrate. When we were on vacation for the 2 weeks, I felt very strongly that the Lord wanted me to spend some time in the book of Daniel, and so I enjoyed just reading the book of Daniel and had a chance to just concentrate on that book for that time. I used to, when I'd preach at a teen camp sometimes for that entire week, I'd pick one of the epistles or I'd pick up a character in the Bible and I would just stay with that all week long. It's fun to just in a concentrated manner just pick a portion of the Bible and really stay with it. Let me encourage you, if I can just for a minute, read your Bibles. I'm going to tell you one of the most beneficial things that you'll ever learn to do in life is just faithfully every day get up and discipline yourself to open the Word of God and just read the Bible. I'm going to tell you something. You say, preacher, I don't understand all of it. Well, join the club, okay? Because if it encourages you any, there's still a lot of portions I'm kind of still scratching my head about a little bit. But I'll tell you this, the more you read it, the more you'll understand it. And the more you read it, God will open things up to you. And so it's just an exciting thing to think that we were given a book by God and that these contain the very words of God, and that we can go with full assurance into the Bible and know that what we're reading is the truth and we can be helped by it. So concentrate. Every once in a while, I hear somebody say, well, I don't have a friend. I just don't have anybody to hang out with. Well, I spent 2 weeks hanging out with Daniel and I got blessed and learned a lot from Brother Daniel. Hey, you know what? There's all kinds of friends waiting inside of this, the pages of this book for you. Come on, young ladies. You want to be a godly a lady? Then, hey, pick a lady like Ruth and just hang out with her for a week and just read about her and listen to her and study her and glean from her. And then Sarah, and you can go there. You can go to Mary and Martha in the New Testament. I'm just saying, you know what? Listen, folks, some of the best people that have the most influence on me aren't even breathing anymore. But thank God for the scriptures and these great Bible characters. I love Daniel, and I love the book of Daniel. I'm busy writing a series of lessons on Daniel, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to take the 2 weeks to just get refamiliarized with it and get into it. And so Brother Schindler always said that the best preaching is from the overflow of your own personal life, and I guess you're going to get a little of the overflow of my interaction with Daniel. But I was struck by the character of Daniel, and be honest with you, convicted by the character of Daniel. And I want to be able to see if I can take some of the things that God taught me and encouraged me about and bring it to you today and share that encouragement. But Daniel was an unusual man. He's an Old Testament man, well worth studying. We live in a world starved of godly character, yet God offers to every Christian a feast of virtue from the example of Daniel. Every young person ought to dare to be a Daniel. Chapter 1 finds him a relatively young man, disposed of his home, captive in a heathen land, yet he never left his faith, never lost his bearings, and never surrendered his integrity. Daniel's life is one of discipline, one of distinction, and one of delight, I believe, in the eyes of our great God. Kings would honor Daniel, friends would follow him, and enemies would try to destroy him. Yet God's good hand of blessing and protection remained upon this good and godly man. I want to address the subject of character this morning. Now stay with me this morning, all right? Focus in on this subject, character. Character. Say, preacher, what is character? Well, let's see if we can get around to giving you a definition on it. Let me give you some quotes first. A.W. Tozer said this, and as the excellence of steel is strength, and the excellence of art is beauty, so the excellence of mankind is moral character. Billy Sunday said this, your reputation is what people think about you. Your character is what God knows about you. D.L. Moody said this, character is what a man is in the dark. How about that? Let that settle in. D.L. Moody also said this, if I take care of my character, my reputation will take care of itself. And of course, the father of our nation, George Washington, he said this, I hope I shall possess firmness and virtue enough to maintain what I consider the most enviable of all titles, an honest man of character. So, preacher, what is character? Let me give you what I believe is a good, solid definition of character. Character is an unflinching resolve to live by a biblical code of honor. Character is an unflinching resolve to live by a biblical code of honor. What does that mean? Well, we're going to learn a little bit about character from Daniel, but Daniel purposed in his heart that there are some things he would not do. And he also purposed in his heart that there are some things that he would do. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Because we're going to get to the end of the story here, into the sermon, and find out that he was a man of prayer. And he purposed to be a man of prayer. And even when they signed a decree that said, any man who asks a request of anybody, human or God, except the king, he'll be thrown into a lion's den. You know what? He did not make a decision based on circumstances. He made a decision based on principle. He had purpose in his heart. He would be a man of prayer. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray. Pray and cry aloud. And he will hear my voice. Hear my voice. And you know what? He wasn't going to let a decree, even one signed by the king. By the way, if Obama signed something like that tomorrow, every person in this room ought to go to praying. You know what? We don't let mankind dictate or overthrow the precepts and principles of the Bible. If you decide that you're going to be a godly person, then woe to the person that thinks otherwise, because Daniel exhibited character. He was a man of unflinching resolve. He lived by a biblical code of honor. Oh, we need this in society today. Boy, I want you young people to stay with me mentally, all right? You got to have some character this morning to listen to a message about character, all right? That means you harness your thoughts. You push away things that are distracting you. You forget about the problems and discomforts of life. Focus in on what God wants to teach you this morning. We need an old-fashioned revival in America of godly character. Let me give you three things this morning. I'm going to give them to you right now so that you can write them down, and they're together. And we'll give them as way of introduction. Let me give you three things I want you to learn about Daniel. What are the ingredients, preacher, the ingredients of godly character when we study Daniel? Okay, let me give them to you. One, two, three, and then we'll break them down a little bit. Number one, he applied his mind to learn. He applied his mind to learn. Number two, he purposed in his heart to do right. He purposed in his heart to do right. So number one, he applied his mind to learn. Number two, he purposed in his heart to do right. Number three, he maintained an excellent spirit. Well, I'm going to tell you, I don't know if you can find three better examples, three better precepts to just latch hold of. Ingredients of godly character. Preacher, how do I develop godly character? Apply your mind to learn, purpose in your heart to do right, and maintain an excellent spirit. Let's look at these three thoughts this morning with God's help. Let's ask God to help us in all three areas of this study. Apply your mind to learn. Boy, what a good time to hit this thought. Young people are heading back to the schoolroom. Listen to me very carefully as I talk to you about Daniel. Apply your mind to learn. In Daniel chapter 1, verse number 3, we read this. And the king spoke unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the prince's children, in whom was no blemish but well-favored, watch this, and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had the ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and tongues of the Chaldeans. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 17, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Daniel chapter 1, verse 20, if you'll glance down there. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them, watch this, 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. Let me just stop there and just challenge you all. I believe when it comes to knowledge and wisdom and understanding, a Christian who worships the true God ought to be 10 times better in all of those areas than somebody that's a heathen that doesn't believe in God. What are you saying, preacher? Well, let me just say it out loud. Let me just say it plain. I believe you young people that are born again Christians that attend Blessed Hope Baptist Church ought to be the best students in the public school that you attend, the Christian school that you attend, or in your homeschool group. Are you listening to me this morning? I think you ought to apply yourself. I think you ought to learn. I think that part of character is applying your mind to learn. Over in Daniel chapter 5, verse 14, the king said this to Daniel, I have even heard of thee that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. Now let me just see if I can put this into a capsule for us, this first point. Daniel took learning seriously. Daniel applied himself to learn everything that he could that was holy and healthy. Daniel sought knowledge, he sought understanding, and he sought wisdom. I believe Daniel never passed up an opportunity to learn. Now, school students, all of you that are back in school now, I want you to listen to your preacher for just a minute. I want you to go to school, wherever you go to school, and I want you to apply yourself. You're there to learn something. Are you listening to me? You're there to, preacher, this isn't what I wanted to come to church to hear, but it's what you needed to come to church to hear, all right? Listen, preacher, I don't like school. Well, you know what? Stop saying that. Go into your room when you get home, shut the door, look into the mirror, and say, I like school. All right? And then your reflection will say back to you, no, you don't. And you say to your reflection, yes, we do. We do like school. And then your reflection will say something, what are you, an idiot? And then you say to your reflection, if you'd have went to church like I did this morning, instead of hanging around on the other side of the mirror, you would know that one of the marks of wisdom, one of the marks of character is just learning to apply your mind to learn. By the way, I'm not just talking about schoolwork. You know what, folks? There are a lot of things that you're going to learn in books and all of that, but isn't this true, adults? Most of the learning that'll take place in the lives of these young people long term will not happen in a classroom. How many of you believe that life teaches you a lot of things? And listen, you gotta decide something. I think as an adult, what we've got to decide is, listen, just because we graduate, just because we moved to Tassel, just because somewhere in our possession there's a diploma doesn't mean that school's out. It doesn't mean that we're supposed to cease in learning, and there's always something good to learn. There's always something good to learn. I'm going to give you just some real practical advice underneath this first one. Apply your mind to learn. I believe we need to have a revival amongst this generation of deciding that you're going to start reading some things that are valuable. Stop wasting your time on junk. Stop wasting all your time on Facebook. Stop reading a bunch of gossip and a bunch of nonsense. Turn off the boob tube and actually feed your mind on something that will cause you to be able to advance in some area of your life. Now, let me give you several thoughts on this. Just good advice. Here it comes. Be teachable. Be teachable. You know what I found out? A person that's a good student, a person that learns on a regular basis, whether it's a child, a teenager, or an adult, has to have a teachable spirit. Now listen to me. Don't be a know-it-all. Don't be a know-it-all. Anybody here arrived? Is there anybody to the point where you don't need to learn anything else in life? Well, don't carry around that attitude. Well, I think it was about 3 or 4 years ago, Brother Reiser, I can't remember what the situation was, but he was gone for several days, and the algebra class was going to go untaught. And so I jumped at the opportunity and said, I want to go out there for this week and teach the algebra class. And so I went out there. And by the way, that may sound crazy to some of you. How many of you like math? You like math? All right, those are the blessed. Those are the blessed people. And either that or you're a little deranged like I am. I don't know. Something's wrong with us. But I do. I like, that's just my thing. I really like math. I taught math in our public or our Christian school here for a lot of years. And one of the things I miss to this day is just teaching the math, the algebra class, the geometry class. So I went in there and I was excited. I got going. Boy, I'm teaching that class. And of course, immediately, just because I'm in there instead of Brother Reiser, the IQ began to rise in that class very visibly. And so I think I only put them back about a month. So anyway, I'm working with them, and I'm up there teaching, and I go around and watch them, and I got them working on a problem, and I'm looking at what they're doing, and I'm tweaking here and talking. And by the way, you know what? There is something fun about it. I think more people ought to consider the profession of teaching. I really mean that. I think there's a blessing that comes along with it. Oh, preacher, I can do something else that might make more money. Well, maybe you can, but I'm not sure you're going to do anything much else that's going to have bigger impact long term on people's lives. But I'm just a little commercial there, all right? So throw it out there. But you know what? So there I am. I'm running around. I'm tweaking this and teaching. There's this one boy that we had, a high school boy. And you know what? He was doing it wrong. And so I noticed he was doing it wrong. So I said, everybody up here, look up here. Let me help you. Some of you are starting already. Let me go over this first step again. So then I said, now go again. And I watched him. I walked over. And I started trying to correct him because he still wasn't doing it right. So I goes, hey, let me help you out on this first thing. And he said, no, I got it. Well, I'm looking at it. And guess what? He don't got it. I got it. I said, okay, well, let me watch you get it. And so he's piddling around, and I said, no, let me help you out. And he said, so I started telling him, this old thing over here needs to go here. And he said, I know. So I said, all right, well, this part over here, you know, if you need to move this over here, I know. And so I left him alone for a while, went back teaching. I went back, peeked, and he's doing it wrong again. And I said, let me help you a little bit. You know, if you move this over here, he goes, I know. And so finally, I kind of lost it. And I said, look at me. You don't know. Look right up here. You don't know. Okay, if you knew, you wouldn't be writing down the wrong stuff. Now, folks, listen to me. We may pick on that student, but the honest truth is half of America's like that. I know. Well, let me show you something from the Bible. I know. No, you don't know. Or your life wouldn't be a train wreck. No, you don't know. Or you wouldn't be trapped in the vicious cycle of self-destruction. Everybody knows everything. Nobody wants to be taught anything. And yet we're looking around and lives are a disaster. They're a mess. Hey, if you don't develop a teachable spirit, if you don't understand, listen, lose the know-it-all mentality in life. A lot of times people call for help here at Blessed Old Baptist Church. And by the way, I'm going to tell you something. We don't do the blow the trumpet thing. We don't give out statistics at the end of the year. We don't talk about all that we do for people in the community. We don't call the paper to come down every time we do something, make sure they take a picture of us doing it and put it on the front page of the paper. That's not, and by the way, that's not how the church is supposed to operate. But people call for help, and we help a lot of people in a year's time. But I'm going to tell you this, folks, listen to me. I'm not mad at anybody. But most people that want help, they want you to put a Band-Aid on cancer. They want an immediate fix to get them through the next 30 days or the next week. They don't want to be taught how they got in that situation. They don't want to stop and evaluate where they're at. They don't want to have a plan laid out where they don't have to continue to live in that vicious cycle. Listen, folks, it's one thing to help a person. I don't mind giving somebody a hand up, but I don't much care about giving a hand out. And the honest truth is, listen, how's life going? Let me just say this. Let me just ask you, okay? And I know this goes on the radio, so sometimes I'm not even thinking so much about the people in here. I just want to ask the community, how's things going out there? Okay, all you know-it-alls that know everything. You know, you don't need to come to church. You know it all. How you doing? How's your marriage? Come on now. How's your family? How's your finances? Come on. I mean, come on. How's your internal peace and happiness? I mean, come on. We've got an entire society that's been trained. You know where all that I know stuff. You know where that starts out? It starts out when they're about 18 months old. Okay, I didn't mean to go so far on this one point, but we're here, so let's just go to the end of the road. Amen. I mean, that's what an 18 month old one wants to. You know, like, let me show you how to stay. I know. And you know what, parents? Can I say this? If you don't get that out of them, then they're going to be sitting in my algebra class one of these days, giving me the I know, when they don't know. And so guess what? Hey, young person, you got a know-it-all attitude. You know what? Listen, there's nothing. Your mom and dad ain't going to be able to help you. You know what? I'm not going to be able to help you. School teachers aren't going to be. There ain't anybody much going to be able to help you till you lose the know-it-all attitude. Nobody knows it all. And so just some good advice. Now, I want you to show up to school tomorrow with a teachable spirit. Okay, lose the haughtiness. Stop slipping back on the back row and cutting up and messing around, acting like you're there and there's nothing that teacher has that you need. Listen, show up with a teachable spirit. How about this? Apply yourself. Don't be lazy. Now, you got to practice some mental discipline if you're going to learn some things in life. You know what you're going to get out of school this week, young people? You're going to get out of it what you put into it. Did you get that? You're going to get out of it what you put into it. Don't be lazy. Apply yourself. One of the things I say in our training of our young people all the time is isolate and concentrate. Isolate and concentrate. If you if you don't have the ability to harness your mind and isolate all your mental powers on one particular problem and fully concentrate that and push away all the distractions and fully concentrate on one thing until you complete it, you're in trouble. You're in trouble in life. And so a young person shows a little difficulty doing that. Now, again, I'm going to get myself in trouble, so just get ready, all right? If you haven't been made mad yet, I'm about to do it, all right? But you know, a kid shows a little bit of struggle, a little bit in mental concentration, and you know what we do? We take them right to the school nurse, and we put them on drugs. Now, you can say what you want. Preacher, all right, you say whatever you want to. I'm just saying this. It's a shame that in the United States of America, we've got over a third of the young people drugged up before they go to school. Brother Don, was that the way it was in the 1950s? Was that going on in the 1950s or 1960s? Well, 1960s it was, but that was self-medication, I think, you know. Was that going on in the 40s? Did that go on with the Great Depression generation? We just got all smart now? And we figured out that what we need to do is dope everybody up so they can go and learn. Did you hear what I said? Dope them so that they can learn. Now the problem is, teacher so-and-so just gets tired of dealing with a little bit of a high, you know, the kid's a little high strung, a little high wired, you know, and so it's easier just to drug them than it is to have to deal with them. And by the way, a lot of that got cured when we used to have a paddle waiting in the principal's office. I mean, they didn't have Ritalin, they just had a paddle. And you know what? You were a little antsy in the pants, and you know, you can't sit still, and you don't want to listen, and you get a little lippy, and the principal just take you down there and light you up. Better than any drugs you can come up with, I promise you, man. It'll reset your entire metabolism. I mean, when you're getting hit so hard on the rear end that snot's flying out of your nose, you know, all of a sudden... All kinds of things are happening that just rearranges everything in your body and mind in such a way where all of a sudden you're able to isolate and concentrate and go back and do. Now, you know, about everybody's having fun here except about five of you, so I'm just going to keep doing this. Come on now. You've been brainwashed. Hello, you've been brainwashed. You've been brainwashed. God help us. Now, young person, listen to me. You don't need a pill. You don't need somebody sitting there by your desk telling you every 5 minutes. You have, if you're saved, you've got Jesus Christ as your Savior and the Holy Spirit inside of you. And you know what? You have everything you need to do what you need to do. Now do it. It's called character. You do it. You discipline yourself. You make yourself do it. That's what character is. And you know what, Brother Daniel, boy, he had it by the truckload here. He applied his mind to learn. He was teachable. He wasn't afraid to ask questions. Listen, you want to be a good student? Don't be afraid to ask questions. I don't have time for all this. You want to be a good student? Pray to be a better student. Preacher, I really do struggle. I mean, and I understand that. I understand sometimes different types of learning come easier to different people. Honestly, there's some people that are better learning in books, and there's other people that learn better by working on their with their hands on something and learning it. I understand there's different ways to learn, but listen, you can be a better student by praying to the God of heaven and asking him to help you. Daniel was a man of prayer. It doesn't surprise me that he was also a very good student, that he learned, that he had knowledge and understanding and wisdom. Doesn't the Bible say, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him? For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding, Proverbs 2:6, Ecclesiastes 2:26, for God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. And I think that's fascinating, because you know what? When you go to God and seek out his help, even the things that you were struggling with that was causing you so much frustration, God suddenly gives you wisdom and knowledge and joy. You can get to the point where you actually enjoy learning. You know what? But you have to decide that you're going to apply your mind to learn. We're talking about character. Number two, purpose in your heart to do right. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. Any education that makes you smarter than the Bible is not an education at all. Let me say that again. Any education that makes you smarter than the Bible is not an education at all. True knowledge and true wisdom is never disconnected from the fear of the Lord. Just the opposite is true. The fear of the Lord provides the foundation for you to become truly educated. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So even though Daniel was very educated, guess what? He still feared God. And because of that, he purposed in his heart that he was going to do right. What scares me to death is that we're trying to educate an entire generation, and we've done it for several generations without impacting their lives at all with the morals and the principles and the precepts of the Bible. Theodore Roosevelt said this: it is necessary for the welfare of the nation that men's lives be based on the principles of the Bible. He also said this, by the way, one of my favorite presidents, if you haven't figured it out, Theodore Roosevelt, read about him. To educate a man in mind and not in morals is to educate a menace to society. That's what Theodore Roosevelt said. He said this also: a thorough understanding of the Bible is better than a college education. Well, I'd say amen to that. I'd say amen to that. I'm telling you what, you know, well, grandma don't know much. Well, grandma know the Bible? Then she knows more than you do, Mr. and Mrs. PhD. Well, an old gray-haired grandma with an eighth grade education and a King James Bible and reads it and knows it and studies it is smarter than anybody that's ever moved a tassel. I don't care what level it is. What I'm saying is this, folks, listen to me. A thorough understanding of the Bible is better than a college education. Daniel Webster said this: education is useless without the Bible. Daniel Webster, he's a pretty smart man. You probably ought to do a little reading on his life. Education is useless without the Bible. Now, the Daniel here in chapter 1, we're talking about this Daniel, not Daniel Webster. Now, we're talking about this Daniel here in chapter 1. He purposed in his heart to do right. Yes, he was educated. But you know what? He wasn't educated out of righteousness. And he said, I'm going to learn everything I'm going to learn, but let me tell you what I will not do. There are some things that I have purposed in my heart that I will not do. And listen, if it's right to do, I'll do it. If it's wrong to do, I'm going to tell you what, a heaven and earth stand witness, I will not do it. And they came to Daniel. And you may look at this story and say, preacher, I don't see what the real problem is. Part of the daily provision for these group of specially handpicked students was that the king was apportioning them a daily provision of his own table, of the king's meat and the wine that he drank, so nourishing them 3 years. Now, I think the king thought that he was doing them a great honor. In other words, the same chef and the cooks and everybody that prepped the meal and brought the meal to the king for what the king was going to eat at every meal took a portion of that and went and fed these young men. But there was a problem. Are you listening to me? Because we're going to start separating the men from the boys here. It's time we learn something about Bible convictions. You see, folks, what might seem like a normal thing and even a generous thing in the eyes of the world that they don't see a problem why you shouldn't participate in, if the Word of God stands against it, guess what? I cannot do it. I cannot do it. You say, preacher, it's just meat and it's just drink. Wait a minute. You need to study that out a little bit. I'm going to tell you this. The king's meat, and Nebuchadnezzar was notorious for this, a notorious idol worshiper. Even when he first met Daniel, he credited Daniel's amazing wisdom, as we already read, to the gods, the mind of the gods. And so he was a idol worshiper. The meat that was served at the king's table had previously been offered to idols. And guess what? Daniel had Old Testament law precepts that prevented him from partaking of that meat. There were Babylonian wine. You say, what kind of wine is Babylonian wine? It's the kind that caused the drunken party down in the chapter where the hand appeared on the wall. Folks, listen to me. This wasn't grape juice. This was fermented. This was alcohol. And you know what? Daniel knew some of these verses. He came after Solomon. He that loveth, he knew that these verses. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And he whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. He knew Proverbs 23, who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath contentions, who hath babblings, who hath wounds without cause, who hath redness of eyes, they that tarry long at the wine, they that go seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. Thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of the mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. I have a feeling that Daniel, during the education process of his life, read these verses and said, and maybe he pointed to these very words of Solomon, and he said, you know what? I'm going to be smart enough and wise enough to make sure that not one drop of that ever comes into my mouth. All of a sudden, guess what? Judas taken captive, and Daniel's carried off, and he's hand-selected, and he walks in, and it's lunchtime, and guess what's laid on the table? Things that would cause him, if he partook of them, to go against the principles and precepts of the Bible. So you know what he did? He just made a decision, purposed in his heart. You know what? I will not defile myself with the king's meat or the king's drink. I will not defile myself with those things. Now, folks, listen to me. Watch this. You know what character is? You know what real character is? What did I say? It's an unflinching resolve to live by a biblical code of honor. Now, let me help you. I want to get your attention. I want you to get, if you don't get anything else, I need you right now. Watch this. I mean, do you have any Bible convictions? Do you have any beliefs that you know is completely and wholly founded on the scriptures? A Bible conviction is something you don't sell. Bible conviction is something that you don't surrender. Right. I mean, they could pass a law. They could pass a law and tell Daniel, you eat this stuff or we'll chop your head off. And you know what? There'd be a day Daniel would walk, kneel down, put his head on the chopping block, but he was not going to do it. Now, do you have any Bible? Listen, young people, I'm frustrated sometimes. I'm watching young people grow up in Christian homes and in good churches. And you know what? When they're 18 years of age, I wonder if they have anything that's an absolute in their life. Anything that they won't give away or sell at the sake of convenience. Do you have Bible convictions about some things? Are there simply some things that you say, preacher, I'm going to tell you what, it may cost me my life, but I am not doing that. You know why? Because the Bible says, thou shalt not. Or you know what, preacher, it may cost me my life, but I will continue to do this. You know why? Because the Bible says, thou shalt. And when all of us need to get into the Word of God and settle some things in our heart and decide, listen, you know what character is? Character is a determination to do right no matter the circumstances. This young man, Daniel, early on in his heart, early on in his life, just settled some things. I believe the Bible. I believe God's Word. I believe it to be holy. I believe that my belief system ought to be firmly based upon it. When it says that things are wrong, I'm going to view them as wrong. When it says things are right, I'm going to view them as right. When it tells me I should not do some things, I'm not going to do them. And if it tells me I am to do some things, I will do them. That's what character is. Let me just give you some thoughts under that. Purpose in your heart to read, believe, and obey the Bible. I mean, you ought to just get a Bible conviction about reading the Bible. How are you going to know what your convictions are if you don't have any interaction with the Bible? Just read it. Just make it a Bible conviction. You know what? One of the teachers that I went to Bible college with said, you know what? Some of you guys that are struggling every morning and you never seem to find the time to get in your Bible, he said, you just need to make a vow to God. A vow to God! And here's the vow you ought to make. No Bible, no breakfast. No Bible, no burgers. Well, that'd settle it for me right there, amen? No Bible, no burritos. What he was saying is, you know what? Not one morsel of food is going to go into my mouth to feed myself physically until I have fed my spirit with the Word of God, this wonderful manna, this wonderful bread of life. Folks, listen to me. We are healthy Americans in body and starved spiritually because we feast upon the things that keep our physical body satisfied and utterly ignore the precious Word of God that sustains our spirit. So purpose, just get it settled. Just say, preacher, from now on, Bible conviction in mind. I don't have time to read the Bible and I don't have time to eat. And I don't have time to eat until I have time to read the Bible. You know what? That'll settle it for you. I say, preacher, good night. Yeah, I know. That's called a conviction. It's like the guy, it's like the guy that came to my room one day and he said, I'm going to go see Brother Carl Loren. I think I've told you this story. I'm going to go see Brother. He was a professor at the college. Man, he was old school. If there was one guy at my Bible college that most reminded me of my dad, it was Carl Loren. And he, listen, don't go and ask him anything if you don't want it shotgun straight. You're going to get the truth. If you haven't figured it out, it's kind of way here. It is here at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. So, you know, don't walk in the door if you want somebody to lie to you, because I'm not going to lie to you. All right? I love you, but I'm not going to lie to you. But man, Carl Loren, he was tough. And so one of my roommates come to me and said, man, I'm going to tell you, I'm struggling with this thing. I'm just struggling with this thing with tithing. I'll be honest with you, I vow to do it. I mean to do it. I purpose to do it. And then I do it for a few weeks. Then I stop doing it. And then I'll get into a little financial crunch and I won't do it. And I will do it. And I won't do it. And I will do it. And he said, I'm going to go see Brother Laurent. And I thought, well, that should take care of it. That'd probably take care of it. So he was gone. Wasn't gone very long. Think about only about 10, 15 minutes. Came back in the room. Kind of just had this, you know, glazed look in his eye. And I said, how'd it go? He said, was he in? Yeah. Did you get a chance to talk to him? Oh, yeah. I said, well, what did he say? Well, I walked in and I said, Brother Laurent, I'll be honest with you. I'm just struggling with this matter, bringing 10% of what God's given me as an increase every week and walking to the church house, putting it in the plate. I'm just struggling with it. I'm inconsistent. He said, I feel bad about it. I repent about it. I decide I'm going to do it. And I stop doing it. And here I am again. And by the way, just look right up here. Some of you need to listen to God right now because you're spending money that don't belong to you. And maybe you've never been taught this, but you're keeping money that don't belong to you. The tithe is the Lord's. It's the Lord's whether you give it, it's the Lord's whether you keep it. And I'm not saying this, listen, I'm saying this for your sake, for the sake of your family and your financial well-being. God is going to get his tithe one way or another. And he's going to get more than his tithe. You can come give it willingly and receive the blessings that come with it, or you can hold it back and then not only not get the blessings, but receive what the Bible promised will be a curse upon your life. Settle it. Just tithe. Come in every Sunday. Figure out what God increased you the last week. Take 10% of it. Write a check. Put it in the plate. How many Christians would say, come on, help these that are struggling. Come on, it's not like we didn't struggle at one time. Let's help each other out, okay? I'm not down on people. I'm just saying, come on, you can live better on 90 than you can 100. Say amen to that. And so just settle it. I mean, from you teenagers, first time you get a job babysitting, you get, you know, you babysit for a very generous family, you're there for 6 hours and they give you $2. And so you take 20 cents of that $2 and you bring it in, and that's your tithe. That's your tithe. Come on, parents. Yeah, well, I got this little 3-year-old boy and got a card in the mail from grandma, and she put $5 in it. Yeah, and you got an opportunity to teach your child something right now. Come on now. That's good for us. Amen. And so Brother Laurent, he come in. He's like, I said, well, what did he say? He said, son, I used to struggle with that. He said, I can cure that for you. I can help you with that. He said, oh, good, Brother Laurent. What should I do? We're going to kneel down here, and you're going to make a vow to God. And you're going to promise God, God, from now on, I'm going to take 10% of all of my increase every week and bring it to the church and put it in the plate. And the first time I don't do that, I want you to kill me. That's what you're going to pray. You're going to pray with me on this. Let's pray, brother. You say, preacher, I wouldn't go to somebody like that. Yeah, because you don't know anything about a Bible conviction. Excuse me. You're wishy-washy on almost everything else. Come on now. I mean, you live by convenience, not principle. I mean, if it works out and it's in your favor, then you'll do right. But hey, if you got an opportunity to advance yourself by cutting some corners and do a little bit of wrong, hey, that's not how we're supposed to live. It's not how we're supposed to live. And so one of the things about Brother Daniel is this. You know what? He purposed in his heart. I don't care if I'm in a heathen land. Listen, young people. I don't care if I'm in a heathen land. I don't care if Nebuchadnezzar is the king. I don't care if I've been disposed from Israel, and now I have to live in Babylon. Let me tell you something. God hasn't changed, and the Bible hasn't changed. And you know what? The things I learned as a child from the scriptures are still true. And you know what? I'm going to do them. Last thought. We'll wrap it up. He not only had these character traits, purpose in your heart to do right, apply your heart to your mind to learn, but he maintained an excellent spirit. Now, I'm going to take about 3 minutes to wrap it up, so stay with me. Two different times it says that Daniel had an excellent spirit. Daniel chapter 5, verse 12, for as much as an excellent spirit, knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentence and dissolving of doubts were found in this same Daniel. Daniel 6:3, this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king sought to set him over the whole realm. Now in Daniel chapter 6, it's mentioned that he had an excellent spirit. This caught the king's attention. He, you know what? He yearned to learn. He disciplined his mind to learn. He purposed in his heart. He lived by a code of conduct. And you know what? The king pretty much figured that out. These other politicians, these other princes, you know what? They can be sought, bought and sold, not Daniel. Hey, even the world's looking for somebody with integrity. And you know what the king finally said was, you know what? Cream rises to the top. I'm gonna put him over all the kingdom. He had an excellent spirit. But what happened? We don't have time to teach it, but just please read Daniel chapter 6. That's the chapter where he ends up in the lion's den. Okay? And it says that the other guys, the only problem with having character and living by character is, listen, it irritates people that don't have character. And pretty soon, God's going to begin to put his hand of blessing and advance your life. And guess what? People who don't have character but want the same blessing but don't want to pay the price for it get jealous. Watch this, get jealous because of God's good blessing on your life. So you know what? You would think, now listen, heaven's applauding you, but that didn't mean you're going to get much applause here on earth. Pretty soon these other guys are saying, hey, did you hear the king's talking about putting him over all of us? We've never had a vice king before. He's going to make him vice king. I mean, instead of working with all of us and a council, he's going to put him in charge, and we're going to lose influence with the king. So you know what they did? They hired some guys. They said, I want you, listen, we've got some private investigators. We want you to look at every aspect of his life. We want him followed. We want an investigation of his character. We want to look at his finances. We want to see when he leaves for work, where he goes, if he sneaks into any place. And you know what? They could find nothing against him. The Bible says, except his dedication and loyalty to the law of God. And when they had the meeting, they brought everybody else. Is he stealing? No. Does he have an affair? Is he immoral? No. Is he cheating? No. Is there anybody we can bring accusation? No. Well, there's got to be something. One guy finally says, he prays. That's all you got? Yeah. Evening, morning, and at noon. He walks up in his house, opens the door, windows towards heaven or towards Jerusalem, and he gets on his knees and he prays to God. And they're like, that's it. Well, I'll tell you what, let's do this. Let's go to the king, and we'll act, we won't tell the king that this is going on in Daniel's life. We'll just go and say, king, you know what we were thinking? And by the way, flattery a lot of time works. We were thinking, you know, that maybe we ought to have just a month. You're such a great king. You're such an amazing king. You know what, we ought to just set aside a month, and what we ought to do is not allow anybody to ask a petition of anyone on earth or in heaven except you, king. That's how great you are. And if they are, they get thrown. If they do it, they break the law, they're going to get thrown into the lion's den. And Nebuchadnezzar puffed up with pride and said, okay. And he signed that decree, and they said, we got him. We got him. But you know what, folks? Daniel still had an excellent spirit. Now, let me help you with something, all right? It's easy to have a good spirit when things are going right. Do you have a good spirit when tomorrow morning you're heading to the lion's den? It's easy to have an excellent spirit when everybody's treating you fair. Come on, adults, help these kids out a little bit, okay? Help me out a little bit. Life's not always fair, is it? It's easy to have an excellent spirit when you've been treated good. What if you've been treated bad? So now you got a permission slip from God Almighty to walk around with a bad spirit? We're supposed to have an excellent spirit no matter what the circumstances of life are. Come on now. I mean, listen, you got to learn to smile when you don't have a reason to smile. You got to learn to smile when everybody's got the crosshairs on you and people are trying to take you down and people are saying things about you that's not true and trying to ruin your reputation. You know what, folks? Listen to me. We still have an obligation to a lost and dying world to have an excellent spirit and a good testimony no matter. Listen, don't lower yourselves to be them. Don't lower yourselves to be them. Somebody who's got God's hand on them and God's beginning to advance them and bless them, and God's beginning to lift them up. Man, everybody down here that don't want to pay the same price for that to happen starts taking pot shots. I mean, that's just typical human nature. Now, you're going to keep your excellent spirit? Because that's what character is. See, folks, listen. You got to reach down sometimes inside of you and exhibit some character. And everybody's applauding you. It's easy to have a good attitude. But what about when they're throwing darts at you and they're throwing knives at you? And they're talking bad about you. What we need, folks, listen to me, in America, and I got to tie this up, is we need a revival of character. Now, this week, young people, look up, and I'm done. Apply your mind to learn. You walk into school, and you be the best. Get off the back row. Get up the front row. Stop forgetting your books and bring them. Open your notebook. Stop talking in class. Show up there and learn what God has for you to learn. Okay? I mean, apply yourself to learn. Keep a good spirit. Keep a good spirit. Keep a good spirit. And listen, purpose to do right. Purpose to do right, no matter what everybody else is doing. Do right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, as we have now been challenged by the life of Daniel, that you would help us, Lord. A lot of information, a lot of good counsel, a lot of good wisdom, and many Bible precepts were sprayed across the auditorium, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to latch on to one or two or three that was for us today. And I pray, Lord, whether we're an adult or a child or a teenager or whoever we are, whatever time of life, that we would do what we can to be men and women of character. We would rededicate ourselves to that. May we get into the Bible, Lord, so that we can develop some Bible convictions about some things and just latch on to some Bible principles. And just learn what the Bible says. Lord, we're not going to learn right and wrong by looking at the culture. We're not going to learn right and wrong by turning on the TV. We've got to get in the Bible. We've become, Lord, a culture where evil is being called good and good's called evil. And Lord, if we just look around and adopt the mindset of the world, we're never going to be men of godly character. So I pray, Lord, get us into the Bible. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Help us to follow and obey the principles and precept of God's word. And Lord, I pray, Lord, as we exhibit character in your eyes, Lord, that you will open doors for us and advance us so that we can have the greatest impact possible for the kingdom of heaven. We pray these things in Jesus' name.